So, hello again, it's Ian McKendrick, Watercolour Journey, still at Patchings Art Festival, and we're on the Friday now. It's been a really gorgeous sunny day, and I'm sitting out here. You can hear the birds singing in the background, but I'm sat down here next to none other than the amazing Jean Haynes. Hello, Jean.
Hi there. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Great. And how's your day been today?
Absolutely fantastic. If anybody hasn't been to Patchings, they really, really have to come next year. It's the most brilliant art event.
It's a very special one.
Oh, it's magical.
Because it's not your first time here, though, is it?
No, this is about my fourth visit here, and I started when I wrote my first book with Search Press.
Yeah.
And I was in the author's tent. Last year, I was invited by Patchings to be in their celebrity artist tent. And this year, I was in St Cuthbert Mill's big main festival marquee.
And you packed it, didn't you? It was bursting at the seams.
It was bursting at the seams. 2 days running. It was
they had to open the flaps
seams.
To let the air
they
through,
did
didn't
bring
they?
Extra chairs in yesterday, yeah. And they brought some extra chairs in today. And they also opened the tent because it obviously was so much cheaper to get hot. But it was so fabulous. And yesterday we had people flying over from Thailand.
Wow.
And Barcelona. Today a lady flew down from Scotland, which I thought it was amazing, just literally to see the demonstration.
No.
No, I'm a bit...
Don't you feel quite humbled when that sort of thing happens?
Shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked, isn't it?
So for those who don't actually know you, you're actually a watercolourist, aren't you?
Yes. Pure,
so tell us a little bit about watercolor. You and how you got into your art.
How I started?
Yeah.
Well, I think, like most people, I started as a child because you become inspired, you know, you're painting, you don't know that you can't paint, you just love creating. And it grew from there. I excelled in art in school. And again, I think like most people, it kind of took a break with my own career way back then. And then I got married, I had children, and I followed my husband around the world with his career. And what actually happened was, because I adore painting, everywhere I went to somebody who inspired me with their art. So when we moved to Hong Kong, I always looked for the best artist, and a very elderly artist from Shanghai taught people one by one, just on a personal, if you could get in. And I was lucky, she took me on, she liked what I did, she took me on, she was a very strict instructor, and taught me brush control in a way that I would never have got from anybody else.
Wow.
Just holding the brush, thinking about what you're painting, seeing it in your mind before you paint it, and imagining in your mind with your eyes closed, could you touch it? And if you can touch it, if it moves, you use gentle sweeping brush strokes. And I take that into what I'm doing today.
Could you explain that in your demonstration yesterday about touching the brush onto the back
gently,
of your hand?
Yes. And if you take a dry paintbrush, for watercolour anyway, and put it on the back of your hand and make it feel like a whisper. And if it's so gentle, when you take that pressure onto beautiful watercolour paper, the colour slides and just glides across in a beautiful natural flow. So the paper, when you finish painting, looks pristine and brand new with colour on it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're too rough, you lose that glow.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good tip, actually, for people who are new to watercolour. Use very gentle pressure.
Yeah. So the Chinese painting that you've done.
And then we moved to Dubai, which was wonderful, because when I lived in England, I painted landscapes, but they were all very similar. They were the sky, the background trees, so there was maybe a building on the right, and then there was grasses leaning towards it.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of all done these kind of paintings, and they were beautiful. But when I went to Dubai, people weren't just painting blue or grey skies, they were painting red skies, pink skies, orange skies. And, of course, the Arabs in their white dish dash, those colours quite often, if you're standing in the desert, are reflected in the hems. And I think for the first time I really, really saw colour. So that when I started painting my camels, even at that point, they were bright orange as opposed to yellow ochre. And you do get tired of a subject. I mean, there I was painting portraits mainly. I was very heavily into portraiture. I started off as a botanical artist, so I painted every single detail. But then I did the Chinese art where you're leaving more out than you are actually painting.
Quite suggestive.
Very suggestive. And Dubai, where I was learning with the Pakistani, Indians and Arab artists, their colours, the way they see colour and use colour, is very,
very
bold compared to what we're doing. Because they are seeing those colours strong.
Yeah. Because the light there is remarkable,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm leaping subjects a little bit, but I actually taught a workshop in Norway, and the colours there are so pure that, you're just taken aback. You think you've seen everything.
Yeah.
But you feel like a beginner seeing things for the first time. That element of excitement, excuse me, comes back into your art.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, so Dubai, and then from Dubai, I moved back to Hong Kong, then back to England.
Yeah.
But I studied with masters wherever I was, which puts me in a bit of a quandary, because I can say I'm self-taught, but in other ways I can't, because actually I've had a lot of tutoring from really wonderful, masterful people.
Yeah. So who's been the biggest inspiration for you?
Well, my Chinese mentor, who's no longer with us, and I lived in France before we moved back to UK, and I heard, or I was introduced to the work of an artist called Blanche Audin, and she painted roses. In most of my demonstrations, I will always paint a rose, and they are inspired by this incredible lady who, at the time that she was wanting to art, women weren't allowed in Parisian art schools. There's just been a programme on television called Women in Art.
I've been watching the series. Yeah,
well, she would be in that era. She couldn't go to an art school, but she could go in and clean brushes. And interestingly, so did my Shanghainese teacher. She painted, she cleaned the brushes of the masters and studied and absorbed. And I think hearing their stories taught me to absorb information.
Yeah.
And also learn how to get that information across.
Yeah.
If you love something, you know, give it away to as many people as possible so they can enjoy it too.
Oh, a woman after my own heart. That's exactly how I feel about
it. It is.
It's all about sharing.
We're getting treasures in this art world, and they're not ours to keep.
No.
You know, and it's.
I can't stand it when people get really defensive and they don't want to share what they do.
I had a lovely situation years and years and years ago where I watched a lady painting a sky, and I went up and I very innocently, in my early art states, you know, I love that. What colour are you using? And she said, you'll have to find out your own colours for your own skies, because this is mine. And I always remember that, because I thought, well, how silly, because a little bit further down the road somebody said, oh, it's just Indian red with so-and-so, she just drops it in the corner. And I thought,
why couldn't you just say that?
I just think it's nice to, if you're excited by something, if you've watched my demonstrations, you know how passionate I am, and I get so enthusiastic. The minute I find something new, it's kind of, you have to tell the whole world, you know, oh my gosh, I've just discovered this colour. Like, I love Cascade Green with Daniel Smith. And they sold out, because I was saying how lovely it was, so they sold out here at Patchings. So if you're listening to this, please go and buy the Cascade Green, because it's wonderful. But you discover something new.
That's the one that's the blue and the green.
It's one colour, but when it dries, you have several colours there.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. Yeah. I actually, in a way, get paid to sit and watch paint dry, and it's just not boring at all.
No, it's
brilliant. So, Blanche Audin inspired me a lot with her roses. Yeah. She painted things in a way that made you think they were real, they were alive.
Yeah.
And in a very sensitive way, I think. So it's very hard to see. There's not a lot of her work online, but I have a book of hers that I think is out of print now, but it's just the most beautifully... I take it into my workshops and I show people. It's very different to my style because there's more detail there. But her love for her subjects shines in her results.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, what good art is.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell when you go around an exhibition, somebody who's painting possibly because they know if they paint the same shirt several times, it sells, for example. Whereas if somebody is passionate about their art, you can't walk past the painting because something comes out of it.
Yeah,
it appeals to you.
It.
You have to go back and you can't always tell what it was. No. It's just a lovely painting.
Yeah.
So I'd say Blanche Audin is my biggest inspiration, and Asian art too.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So what I'd like to do as we wrap the interview up is if I could get you to share three pearls of wisdom.
Okay.
And the first pearl is for people who are maybe thinking about getting into art. So what would you say that would inspire people to pick up that brush or that pencil and get started?
If the question is seriously, what would I say to somebody who isn't painting and they'd like to get started? My question to them would be, why aren't you painting?
Just get started. Yeah.
The thing is, it's the most freeing feeling in the world. That feeling as an adult that you felt, the joy in creating as a five-year-old, you can feel it as an adult. You can put pressure on your shoulders by wanting to achieve masterpieces, but if you take that pressure away, it's wonderful. What's more, you don't have to be young, fit and healthy. You can do it at any stage of your life. There's no cost restrictions, really, because once you're set up with simple equipment, you've got everything you need.
One of the biggest things that I get through social media from people who've listened to the previous interviews is they feel they're putting themselves out there on a bit of a pedestal. And so that, hence, that's why I always ask the question is, how can you
get over that?
Get over that, yeah.
Actually, it's I can understand it to a degree, because I get people that come on workshops, one or two, because I have very friendly, relaxed sessions, that I know one or two people are nervous going into a room, and they'll tell me they don't like going to art society workshops where they're painting and people might be looking.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a really important point. Every single professional that's here at Patchings, they were all beginners once.
Yeah.
Nobody picked a paintbrush up and was absolutely fantastic on that first time that brush touched paper. And it isn't a case of being ridiculed. You have to look at it a different way. You're joining the biggest club on earth, because people paint all over the world, all levels, and they're just so happy that they're creating. So don't worry what other people think. Just enjoy painting.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. Okay, the second pearl of wisdom is for people that are, they're comfortable with their art, but they've reached a plateau and they want to push it, make things a little bit, improve things. So what pearls could you share for someone to improve what they're doing?
That is quite interesting, because it also falls into that line of people who are stuck in a rut, maybe.
Yep.
They've been doing the same thing which they enjoyed once, and it's just not going any further. And when they paint something, they can look at it, they know it's good, but they're not as excited as they used to be. My advice, really, on that would be, look for somebody who inspires you, whether it's a book, a DVD, or a new art class, one workshop a year with somebody different, or one workshop a year with somebody who inspires you. But find something or somebody that makes you feel good. And that goes in a different direction as well. If you're going to an art class where you are not feeling happy when you come out, you're getting a lot of a negative energy,
Don't go.
Stop. Yeah. Only surround yourself with positive energy, positive things that pull you, and push yourself as well.
Yeah.
Decide, right, I'm going to make myself find a new colour, or I'm going to make myself, if you're always painting the same subject, jump out of your comfort zone, paint something you don't like, that you think you can't do, and when you go back to painting a similar subject, it's fantastic because it's so much easier.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's
brilliant.
A good one.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The last one is probably the hardest one of all. Is
I thought it might be.
Is, okay, so I'm producing all this stuff I'm pretty happy with now, actually.
Yes.
Thank you. That's good advice there. How can I make a sustainable living at my art?
Right. We have to break that question down a little bit. If you want to make a living out of art, you have to look around at a lot of top leading artists and ask yourself, how are they making a living and how did they get to where they are? And it doesn't just happen. It is hard work. To be good at something at a level that you're going to make a living out of, you've got to be able to do it. And if you want to make money, you've got to be able to do it well. But if you are painting and you are happy with your work, there's a few tips. I would say, if you think you're ready to go into a gallery, go into galleries, have a look at the work that is on display, and be very honest with yourself. Does your work compare at that level? If it does, approach the gallery owner and ask them if they'd show you. But bear in mind, if somebody already has several watercolour artists, they might be rejecting you, not because your work isn't good, they just don't need another watercolour artist.
Yeah.
Because galleries are quite loyal to the artists they already have. And I think the two words, being realistic, is very, very important. I think I've been encouraging a lot of people to take up teaching art, because when you start teaching, of course, if you're still feeling like an amateur, I'm not suggesting you go in and teach advanced or professional levels, but you can teach beginners classes. There are so many people out there who are terrified of going to a professional artist workshop.
Yeah.
They need a starting point. These are the people that need to just get that foot in the door and just feel comfortable. There are many people out there who are capable of teaching. Be inspiring, and when you go in to teach, every time you do a course, you push yourself to be better and better and better, and you're actually growing as an artist while you're teaching, and that is one way of making an income.
But it's also very rewarding in other ways.
It's rewarding for you, you're helping other people, you're making an income from there. Gallery-wise, you have to get your name known. And the main thing is, it's like anything else, you have to really, really work. Practice, and practice.
Yeah.
Not just at painting. Go to art fairs like Patchings and walk around the tents and see how the other professionals are doing it.
Yeah.
And go up and ask them, how did this happen to you? If you want something badly enough, you will get it.
Yeah.
I mean, my dreams have come true. I have a few little things I think I'll add to the wish list at some point. But it's a case of thinking, don't ever let anyone put you off. If you want to do it. And just go for it, have a dream and aim for it.
That's brilliant, Jean. Thanks ever so much for that. Yeah. So
Where
can we find out more about you? You're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you've got a website.
I've got a website, www.jeanhaines.com.
Brilliant.
I'm on Twitter.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I have a blog that I add to regularly, and I update where I am in the world and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's a really good way to catch up with
Brilliant.
Me.
Well, I'll put all of those links on the interview page with you.
One more thing?
Yep.
I have a new book coming out next year.
Wow, okay.
And I'm hoping it may be launched here at Patchings.
Wow.
So anybody who's listening who'd like to be at a book launch, watch this space.
Okay, and what's the book going to be about? Is there anything you can give us
an insight?
It's
going to be about watercolouring.
Oh, yeah, well, we've gathered that, but is there anything
It's going to be an insight into my world, the way I work.
Brilliant.
But it's going to be highly inspirational, highly motivational, and full of juicy colour. So anyone who isn't a watercolour addict now... They're going to be a watercolour addict next year.
Jean, thank you very much
indeed.
Thank you.